All right. Well, I guess for the sake of time, guys, we'll go ahead and get the call started. Definitely want to welcome each and every one of you guys back online. It's been a while since we've had a chance to kind of round up and have a conversation literally about anything, whether it be a presentation or a conversation or a training. We haven't been able to do very much of anything over the last few months. And so, but during that time, we've been able to really collect a lot of information and kind of ascertain kind of where things are. As you guys probably already, you know, have figured out and already know, you know, we're dealing with a, you know, pretty fluid situation here just due to the sheer nature of the opportunity. And I would venture to say some of it may be cultural type of thing as well in reference to, you know, the communication efforts and things of that nature. And so what we are going to attempt to do tonight is to give you guys as thorough of an update as humanly possible, and I'm certain that's what everybody on here for. And so we're gonna try to do this in a way that that will give you, you know, just as detailed of level of information as we can, in terms of, you know, what we've been able to ascertain just through, as Malcolm mentioned a little earlier, through, you know, conversations, and we'll talk about that. And I guess probably that's probably the best place to kind of open the call up with is really talk about a little bit about the about what we're going to talk about and what's going to be shared on the call. Because I think as a disclaimer, we probably should say up front that about 98% of the information that you're getting ready to receive did not come necessarily directly from any corporate entity or founder per se, at least not directly to us. And so some of the information that we're going to be providing you obviously came from corporate, came directly from the founders, but didn't come directly to us from corporate or from the founders directly to us. And so a lot of it actually came from notes that were obtained after, wow, I guess 14 or 15 different conference calls with the founders and their corporate team from a group that some of you guys may be familiar with. You know, the different leadership groups that Hyperverse has put together, but there's a group of people they call nodes. And for those of you guys in cryptocurrency, you probably already know what a node is and, you know, why they would name that particular group nodes, what have you. But this group of people are people that, you know, for the most part, kind of override a particular area, or they brought some type of, you know, early value to Hyperverse where they kind of elected them to be a spokesperson, a leader in a prospective area, or just someone that could help Hyperverse expand, you know, their vision and their model into the market early on. And so they awarded a group of people, I want to say somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 or 50 people, you know, different types, super nodes and just a node and that's a few other ones out there. But at any rate, they gave this group of people the ability to troubleshoot, you know, solve problems, kind of be like a liaison between all of us, you know, kind of in the field, if you will, as a liaison between them, between us and corporate. And so if we get stuck in any particular area, the way it's supposed to work is we're supposed to get in touch with our node. And, you know, even though most of us didn't know who the nodes were or what have you, but we're supposed to get in touch with the node, and the node would then, they had a representative from corporate assigned to them that they can communicate a problem with. Maybe there was a, you know, missing commission or whatever the case may have been. And then between the node and that person, they would, their corporate representative, they would, you know, get the answer to the question or get, you know, whatever the issue solved. And so that group of people during this time of transition has been, you know, in communication with the founders as well as the CEO and the corporate team. And the communications has been a series of conference calls where 1 to 2 nodes are allotted a 30-minute time segment where they can fire off as many questions as they can get answers to. And prior to that call with the founder, they would get together with the other nodes and they would vote to figure out which questions were the ones that were most, you know, important to get answers to. And they would come to a consensus, and then that two nodes would get online with the founders, have this detailed conversation, get the questions answered that they could. Anything that was pertinent that did not get answered during that call, whenever that next call was scheduled, I want to say they were doing maybe 2 of these a week for the last 2.5 months or so. If something didn't get answered, or they needed a continuation of an explanation or what have you, those questions would roll over to the responsibility of the next group of nodes that got online with the founders. And so because we're not nodes and we don't communicate directly with the founders, we had to rely on the notes from those calls, as well as the explanation of those notes when we had a chance to talk to the few nodes that we deal with directly or what have you. And just through the notes, a combination of the notes, those discussions and conference calls, the leadership calls that have been done, as well as a lot that we've been able to ascertain on our own, just based on what we see physically happening. There's certain things that we look at that tells us, you know, how things are going. You know, as an example, you know, if you've had to go out and do anything as it relates to getting on the online chat, you know, you log in and you're number 173, and it takes you 3 hours to get someone on the line, but you know things are pretty hectic back over at corporate. That's just simply for the fact that, you know, there's enough issues going where there's that many people trying to get in contact, there's that many people on hold and that kind of thing. So as we see those numbers go down, then we also can ascertain that, hey, things are starting to smooth out a little bit, because clearly there's less and less people having issues, less and less people with questions, less and less people, you know, they can't, you know, get their whatever the issue resolved. And so, you know, without talking to anyone and saying, hey, how are things going at corporate, we can figure that out for ourselves just based on, you know, once a week clicking on and getting into a chat queue just to see what happens, that kind of thing. And so from that and a few other things, you know, we've been able to put together this call. And so we're going to, in a very, what I consider to be detailed way, kind of really hammer through the state of where Hyperverse currently sits, you know, how we got there, from the best of our understanding, from the sources that I just, you know, mentioned to you. Give me 1 second, guys. Check about that. And so, you know, so how Hyperverse got to where they are, and then, you know, what their plans are for, you know, their continued success, and, you know, how they're going to, you know, weather the storm, not just that's happened as a result of their own doing, but, you know, at the exact same time that they had these various obstacles, you know, popping up, some that were as a result of this, their inexperience inside of the, not the cryptocurrency space, but inside of the direct sales and direct marketing space, you know, their inexperience in that space and the level of experience of people that they attracted early on, the combination of those two things has created, you know, a number of problems for them. In addition to that, if you're following the market at all, I mean, you don't have to follow the market. If you just turn on TV, you know, the news, the cryptocurrency space is in turmoil just in general. And if you're following the industry, both not just the cryptocurrency industry, but those companies that have elected to do something similar to Hyperverse that are taking advantage of the cryptocurrency space, but doing it with by building a community or in some kind of direct sales or network marketing type of model. If you're paying attention to those companies and what's happening in that space, which, you know, we have been, obviously, you know, you'll quickly realize that, you know, Hyperverse has definitely proven to have something, you know, going on that a lot of those other companies didn't, because many of those companies that people were just so excited and fired up and was screaming that they were just, you know, doing all this, you know, remarkable stuff with, most of those companies are out of business today, and they have been going down, I would say, on a weekly basis. You know, even some of the big ones, they just boom, gone, and people's money's gone with them. And so I guess I will start off this conversation as a testimony to Hyperverse, and as a confirmation that Hyperverse has more going on than just the cryptocurrency space, obviously. And that's how they've been able to weather, you know, at least that portion of the storm, that evidently these other companies have not been able to. So we will, you know, kind of open up with that. So I guess the best place to start, if you want to take some notes, great, because we're definitely going to try to, you know, entertain some questions. That's why we want this to be an invitation-only type of call. Hopefully we didn't miss anybody that should have been here. I'm sure everyone wants to be here, but we tried to narrow down the people that were, you know, at least semi-active, you know, have been active over the, you know, last year or so, whatever the case is, who would probably be in a position of concern about the status of what's happening here, and not just, you know, most of the people that, you know, there are people out there who don't know anything that's happening with the market. They just sit there watching, doing their rebuys every day. So we knew we couldn't address everyone, but we are going to make this recording available. We are going to send it out to every single person that's ever signed up, or, you know, with the team affiliation, because I think it's important for people to have their own fair level of understanding. This is our attempt to communicate a level of understanding that we believe we've been able to ascertain, but not to direct anybody's traffic here, but to just let you know, just the flat out truth of, you know, where we are, what things we've discovered, and, you know, what things, you know, are where they are for the reasons that they are. And then you can decide, you know, how that impacts, you know, what you do next. But, you know, for the most part, when we look at the state of where Hyperverse is, there are several different things that has created a perfect storm, if you will, of problems for Hyperverse. And even with their inexperience in this space, they seem to have been able to not only weather the storm, but to continuously put together the right solutions at the right time. As painful as some of them have been, you know, for some of us, it still has been the right thing to do. Whether we agree with them or not, they have all been very smart, strategic ways of approaching the problems that they face. So let's start off by talking about the problems and some of what created the problems, and then we'll talk about a little bit about, you know, the solutions that they put in place and how it's going to impact each and every person on this call, how it's already impacting you, some of you, you know, more than others, but how it's already impacting each and every one of you guys on the call, and how it will, you know, moving forward. But a couple of big things, obviously the market itself with Bitcoin, you know, taking a nosedive and all cryptocurrency going south versus going north. We believe that that's going to, you know, correct the stuff it always seems to do so. So we don't think that's a permanent problem, but it is a problem nonetheless right now. But it also seems to be something that has not affected Hyperverse as negatively as other companies. But at the exact same time, we believe that that in combination with a few of the other things that we're going to talk about on the call this evening has really created a perfect storm that's really exposed Hyperverse in terms of the gaps in their plan, in their game plan, and, you know, just some of their systems and compensation and how they track certain things. You know, whenever there's a lot of pressure put into any situation, it's going to expose, you know, any leaks and things that makes any problem areas. When things are going great, there's no need to check under the rug and, you know, look for problems. It's not until, you know, there's a storm outside, you see water dripping in your house, and you really start trying to check everything. So that's kind of where Hyperverse is right now. And so because of that, they've had to make some pretty drastic changes to their model in order to, you know, really stay afloat and continue to have this particular model in the marketplace. And so a couple of things that happened early on for Hyperverse. So prior to the market having a meltdown, I'm not certain this is not the first meltdown that they're going to be faced with in the market, and it's not going to be the last, but prior to that, Hyperverse had made, you know, a few calculated mistakes that a lot of companies make in this industry as it relates to what we consider to be direct sales or a volunteer sales organization. In this case, what Hyperverse calls building the community. Whenever you bring in just masses of groups of people from all walks of life, some with crypto experience, some without, some with a technology background, some that don't have an email. But when you bring all different people from all walks of life, literally from all over the world, together for one, you know, opportunity, that's a challenge within itself. But at the exact same time, when you start doing that with a compensation model, you will attract people that, you know, that for whatever the reason, you know, they look at opportunities like this, they look at opportunities to game the system, if you will. So as some of you guys have already been made aware, you know, through previous calls, that there were, you know, groups of people out there that, you know, they would take advantage of a situation like Hyperverse, and they, you know, they were setting up bots, and they had, you know, 150 accounts, and so they were just basically gaming the system and creating, you know, additional revenue streams inside the model. that had Hyperverse had, you know, any kind of experience in his background, I had the people that they evidently have now that do have experience in this model. Those are some of the things they probably could have prevented just by making some tweaks to the onboarding process and, you know, and the, how they verify an account, things of that nature. So, but because it wasn't done, you know, there were people out there gaming the system, not just with multiple accounts, but with other technologies that allowed them to, you know, game the system in different ways. And so some of what you've seen that they've done has been the solution to that. So going from the 1.0 to 2.0 was part of that solution. So there are several things that happened in that. So there were a lot of money that got drained out of the company very, very quickly, quicker than the model could have ever predicted because of the people gaming the system. And so the 1.0 to 2.0 solution solved a couple things. Obviously, it spaced out the timing in which, you know, we were able to pull down money. If you really do the numbers, there's a 40% haircut in there in terms of going from 0.5 to 0.3. So that made the company a little bit more agile financially, if you will. It gave them a little bit, you know, more additional spacing to kind of recoup and make certain that it was doing the right things, you know, having the right things happen financially. But the other thing that it allowed them to do was to reset the memberships. And so that was probably one of the biggest pieces, because each of us had to basically give up our original membership and move into a new membership. That 2.0 was that new membership. And so when we moved over and we agreed to switch over to 2.0, it allowed them to now have the right systems in place to make certain that those bots that were gaming the system and that were signing up hundreds of accounts back to back to back, allowing people to, you know, move through the compensation plan and receive additional different types of bonuses and stuff like that, all that was prevented from the 1.0 to 2.0 transition. Now, that I think is, you know, smart, necessary, something had to happen in order for us to still be here. Now, I wish that would have been communicated properly, that's what the, you know, part of the plan was. But, you know, we'll talk about that, you know, momentarily. But in a nutshell, the transgression, I mean, going from the transition from 1.0 to 2.0 accomplished some of that. The other thing that happened when you start dealing with seasoned veteran leaders in this space, the thing that we're trained to do first is to figure out how not to necessarily manipulate the compensation plan, but how to maximize the compensation plan. You know, what things can we do to put ourselves in the best possible position? What things can we teach others to do to put themselves in the best possible position to capitalize on the compensation plan? And so whether that be, you know, how you structure your organization, different tips and tools that you use, and so to grow your organization or what have you, some of those things were detrimental to the company. Some of the practices that the leaders took on hurt the company versus helped the company. Now, I don't think, you know, any one particular person we can point to and say, oh, man, they were just being greedy and, you know, they hurt the company, because it's really the company's responsibility to vet all those different types of scenarios and to, you know, check under the hood often enough to be able to know that if there's something that that's not working the way they originally planned because someone knew a better way or a slicker way to pull something off. I'll give you a quick example. And I'm going to talk very candidly. So, you know, I hope you guys can, you know, appreciate, you know, some of what's going to be said here, because it's not about pointing fingers at anyone or what have you, but at the end of the day, you know, what has happened has happened. So like an example of that would be the once a month, the company pays out a bonus based on your personal volume that you've got invested into the company. And somewhere along the lines, you know, a year or so ago, the leaders discovered that the company would evaluate how much volume you had inside the company personally, somewhere between the 6th and the 8th of the month. And then based on that dollar amount, they will cut you a lump sum check somewhere around the 10th or the 12th of the month based on that volume. And so the leaders got together and figured, well, wait a minute. We just need to make sure no matter how much money we pull out, in many cases, most of them were pulling out all of the money. So if they were making $800,000, $1 million a month, they were pulling out all $1 million that month. And then somewhere around the 5th or the 6th, they will put all that money in, plus whatever money they had saved and in their bank accounts or whatever. They flood the system with $5, $6 million. And then somewhere around the 8th or the 10th, the company will look out there and say, hey, there's $5 or $6 million worth of volume in this particular account. And so they will pay a bonus check, $80,000, $100,000, $120,000 based on that volume. And as soon as that check was cut, that leader will then, not only them, but we had taught, you know, the rest of the leaders to say, okay, great. Then the second they pay that bonus out on the 10th, they would then proceed to take all of the $60 million back out. Now, sounds like a great strategy because it's allowing them to really pump up and get some good bonus checks going. And so, you know, if I was in that situation, I couldn't say I would have done it any differently. But it's really the company's responsibility to prevent those types of things from happening, because what happens when they pay a big bonus check of $80,000 or $100,000, $200,000 out on a particular amount of volume that is not in their system to be utilized to earn the money that they earn from that money so that they can afford to pay out those commissions and those bonuses. If they're being tricked to think, the system's being tricked to think that that volume is inside the company and it's not, and that volume of money is not, they're not utilizing that volume of money out with whatever they're doing to generate money, but they're still paying bonuses as if they did have that volume in there. You can probably see how that could snowball into a problem over time. And so over time, they realized that that's what was happening, not just with one or two of the top money earners, but pretty much everybody almost, you know, I don't know if it was everybody, but, you know, but a large enough number of people that it, you know, it began to drain the company of its resources and the things they thought they had available that should be earning at a particular rate based on the investments they were making, so on and so forth. That money really wasn't there, but they were still paying bonuses out as if it was. And so that's just one example of, you know, someone who has experience in this space. When they program that comp plan and they program the bonus structure, they program the different things into that to catch those types of things. And so this is just one of those things where you learn as you go if you don't have that type of experience. And so that's just one example. And each of those things that happened, whether it was the people having the multiple accounts or, you know, the leaders, you know, sort of manipulating the system to get bigger bonus checks, and allowing people to make out take out these large withdrawals, all of those different things put pressure onto the system. And that increased pressure on the system where they see so much going out and not as much coming in because their model didn't have what they thought they had in it to produce, you know, what the algorithms were designed to produce. It began to, you know, create additional pressures onto the system. And as a result of that, they begin to take corrective actions to prevent that type of thing from happening. So one of the things they did was they stopped the leaders being able to pull out all their money and stick the money back in at certain times. And so, you know, they start catching some of those things. The switching over from the 1.0 to 2.0, you know, was a way to, you know, make certain that every distributorship really was what it was supposed to be. It also caught people that had, you know, 15, 20 distributorships out there. It was another way for them to, you know, correct some of those things. And so some of these steps to correct so that the company can have long-term sustainability, you know, have been painful for some people or what have you, but they're the right steps that need to be made in order for this to remain a viable opportunity, you know, for everybody on this call. And so things like, you know, one of the first course corrections was obviously the 1.0 to 2.0, which included the 40% decrease from the 0.5 to the 0.3, the increased amount of time between the rebuy amounts. You know, if you were just getting to a point where you were doing a rebuy every day, and then that went from 50 to 125, that may have been something that raised, you know, some hair on the back of your neck and said, wait a minute, you know, what's going on? But that also increased by, you know, a pretty large percentage how quickly the company was, you know, four-timesing or three-timesing at the time, you know, someone committing to that three-times contract. So it afforded them a little bit more spacing, if you will, so that they could make certain that the viability and of the company could be in place. So they started making these different corrections. And because of that, some of the latest corrections that they've made will probably bring us really to the next point. And I'll bring Malcolm on to talk about that. But some of the latest and finalized corrections that they've made has prioritized delays in reference to the withdrawal process. And so before I turn it over to Malcolm to really, you know, bring us up to speed with what that looks like, again, most of what I'm sharing with you has, you know, were answers to questions inside of, you know, those conversations, but we were able to also see those things playing out in the day-to-day of what they were doing. Another thing that they did that we saw that was a course correction, if you will, or one of the things that's allowing them to bring more money back into the fold, as you've probably seen, it was a point of frustration for me, but it wasn't until, you know, we learned, you know, all that we learned that it made perfectly good sense what they were doing. And one of those things was you start seeing a bunch of stuff being marketed to you, new opportunities. And you say, hey, man, I'm waiting to get my money out. You know, what are you talking about? You know, a new opportunity to do this, a new opportunity to do that. Well, those new opportunities do not pay up through a – so, yeah, so, you know, one of the things that we've been able to see is that the things that we learned about through these different notes and the conversations and the conference calls that we were privy to be a part of, we were able to actually see a lot of it play itself out in real time in the back office. And so, well, when there was a liquidity issue, and one of the things they did to help address the liquidity issue from the company standpoint was to roll out a lot of new opportunities direct to each and every one of us as part of the community. Well, for me, it was a point of frustration because I said to myself, why would you roll something new out when you've got all these other things, that problems that you're trying to get adjustments for? Why are we talking about new things when we don't have the old things, you know, working correctly? But it wasn't until I understood the way those new things work that those things, none of those things pay out in the form of a commission through a upline, downline type of structure. So it's not part of the pay plan. And so as you take advantage of those opportunities, sure, there's a monetary incentive and value for you as a community member, but the people that are part of, you know, the upline, the downline, there's no participation there. So it's helping address the liquidity of the company as they roll those things out. And so once we learned what we, you know, learned through these conversations, that made perfect sense from a business perspective to take advantage of what they created in terms of the community to roll additional opportunities to that community that could create additional revenue streams and liquidity for the company. So these are just, again, some of the things that it didn't require us physically having to talk to someone to put that down as a bullet point of what we wanted to share with you on this particular call tonight, because these are things that we've been able to not only hear about, but to be able to vet by seeing it physically happen in the back office. And so with that, Malcolm, I'm certain there's something that I probably didn't cover in this first section that you may want to chime in on real quick before you jump into, you know, the next section. So if there's anything that I need to cover, you can tell me what that may be before we move on from the section, or if there's some things that you want to highlight in addition to that, if you could at this time, that would be great.
No, Singer, I think you hit the nail on the head. When you were talking about some of the things that were happening and people having multiple positions, I just really wanted to highlight and emphasize, when you say multiple positions, what that actually really looked like on the ground. There were countries
that
every member in the entire country to go and purchase 100, 200, 300 different accounts and then put money into each account as if you had actually recruited those individuals, which will then increase the volume in your downline that would promote you to, you know, to VIP 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. There were people who went to VIP 4 and 5 without ever recruiting anybody. They just had enough money to put it in to get to the VIP 3, 4, and 5 level. So when you couple that with the other things that Singer was just mentioning, as I'm more than certain you could agree, that will put stress on any business model, regardless of what the product service is that they're offering in the marketplace. So I just wanted to really drive that home that it wasn't just multiple people doing a couple of positions. It was
thousands
of people doing hundreds, yeah.
It wasn't a handful of us that got five or six accounts that created the issue. You know, when you think about the when you think about the fact, Les, you said that, Malcolm, real quick, it brings up another point. But when you think about there's another 50, 60, 70% of potential income on the same book of business, volume of business, that should be being paid out through a multitude of different people that was all going to one particular person in this kind of scenario, or to, you know, one, you know, groups of people in this scenario, then the volume of activity you would normally get for that group of money. So let's just say that for the sake of this example, that the number is 100 grand. That is 100 grand worth of volume that's being paid out. Well, you may say to yourself, well, whether that was one person or 100 people, the 100 grand is going to get paid out with 100 grand. But when you look at the algorithm of the company, that's not necessarily the same thing as having 100 people earning $1,000. It's totally different than one person earning $100,000, especially if it's on the same book of business when the company thinking that it's being earned by 100 people, because there's certain, you know, any company is going to have the ability to say the average person is going to do this. Average person is going to sponsor 3.5 people. The average person is going to this, that, and the other. And then that person is going to upgrade and add, you know, to this dollar amount. But when that average person is really just one person 100 times or 1,000 times, you know, it throws that entire algorithm, you know, out of whack. So, again, I'm not blaming the people. I blame the company for not having the, you know, the wherewithal to seek the proper. I don't blame them for not knowing, because there's no way to know if you've never done this before. But when you enter into an industry, any industry that you have no experience in, then the first thing you do is go find people who have extreme amount of experience in that industry so that they can curtail these types of things. You can't catch it all, but you can catch the big stuff. And this is one of the big things that could have been caught. So I want to, you know, definitely reiterate, because I'm not here to, you know, like Hyperverse didn't necessarily put those people out of the business. They just say you can't do that. You can, you know, maintain your one or two accounts, your wife, your kids, or whatever the case is. You can maintain those accounts, but you just can't have 1,000 accounts. And so, you know, I can appreciate that as well. You know, if it was my company, they would be gone, you know, but that's another story. So, you know, so again, I don't blame the individual as much as, you know, you have to, you know, leave this in the hands of the people that's responsible for making this thing go around. And if you don't have the expertise or the know-how, then, you know, it's always your job to go find it. So, you know, Mac, I'm glad you brought that back up. And other than that, I'm gonna transition now and switch gears and bring Malcolm online. He's going to talk about some of the latest and final corrections that they're attempting to put in place to finalize, you know, whatever's going to happen. And we've heard, and Malcolm, if you could maybe even open up with this, at least talk about this during your segment. We've heard conversations that they're 60 days away, 90 days away from being 100% back, you know, exactly where things were. Again, those were just, you know, rumor mill kind of questions asked. No direct, hey, by June 1st, you know, this will happen. On the 15th of July, this is going to happen. Nothing like that. But just, you know, they would ask the question, you know, well, how soon will the regular withdrawal process go back into play? Oh, we're probably 60, 90 days out. You know, we've heard June 15th, we've heard July 15th. June 15th is coming and gone. We're still not, you know, back yet. So don't have an answer for that. But this last final portion of what they appear to be making corrections with should get us as close back to whatever it originally was going to be in the first place. So, Malcolm, I'll turn the call over to you to talk about those corrections that they're putting in place.
All right, cool. Well, first thing, June 15th has not come and gone. Today is June 15th.
Well, that's true. That's true. The day is my anniversary. I should know that.
But something tells me on June 16th, we still won't have our MOF out. So we'll see.
Absolutely.
All right. Good deal. Singer, I appreciate you opening up the call and really kind of getting things underway. So with that being said, I'm going to just address a couple of items, and then I'll turn it back over to Singer to get us closed out. If we have enough time, we will open up for a Q&A. And if it's too noisy during the Q&A, we may just ask you guys to go through the chat and then we can just read the question aloud and give the answer to the best of our ability. As Singer mentioned, these are things that we have gotten directly from the proverbial horse's mouth, per se. But in, you know, knowing Bitcoin Rodney, who is a super node, and, you know, Harvey Hill, who sponsored me personally, who is also a node, and other people that we know that were in a year or so before we were, and dealing directly with them and being a part of late night conversations that we're trying to figure out exactly what is the direction of this company. So these are going to be things that we've been able to ascertain, and then we're also going to make recommendations that we feel are the proper recommendations for us to make and recommend to you all. Now, do with it what you see fit, okay? This is not a, hey, our way or the highway, but we are very close to the source of information where we're going to have more educated information than probably 99.9% of you all that are on the call tonight. So I'm going to tell you what we have chosen to do, and if it feels good and sounds good, then it may be something that you may want to consider doing as well. So with that being said, one of the main questions that all of the nodes ask almost unanimously is, what's up with the withdrawals? You know, many of us have never even attempted to do a withdrawal. I would say probably 98% of Hyperverse members are only doing Revise so that you could, you know, maximize the 3X and now the 4X on the 2.0. But there is a growing number of people that, for whatever reason, maybe it's because of what they've been seeing in the crypto market with the downward spiral nature of what's happening, they're getting a little nervous. Or maybe they're a little bit nervous because a whole bunch is not happening with Hyperverse. Or maybe you've been seeing things on social media, whatever the case may be, but you're looking to pull money out. So what we found is this. Hyperverse has actually created a pecking order of priority in reference to getting access to your funds, okay? Now, the first priority, or the number one priority, I should say, are new withdrawals from older members. So if you've been, and they never define what an older member is, but I'm assuming someone has been in the business for a couple of months or longer. So if you have been in the business for a while, considered, quote, unquote, an older member, you are the number one priority. So if you are looking to do a withdrawal, you are top priority. That's one. Kind of 1A is any older member that is looking to do a withdrawal, their primary concern is to ensure that no one loses their initial membership package in the form of an investment. So what does that mean, Malcolm? So if I got started with $1,000, their primary goal is to ensure that no one loses. Now, for me personally, that says volumes about the company because, as Singer alluded earlier, there are thousands, not maybe thousands, but tens to hundreds of companies that go out of business every year, literally thousands over the last couple of years, who could care less if their members get any of their money back, let alone all of it. Now, again, this is directly from corporate that we've heard through the nodes on their conference calls with the founders and the executive team. So, again, any older member that's looking to do a withdrawal and you've never done a withdrawal, you're at the top of the pecking order. Right underneath that is any older member that has never gotten their principal back. So let's say you've done a withdrawal and you put $1,000 in, you get a withdrawal for $800. Well, you're the second in priority until you've at least gotten your principal back, and I can appreciate that. The third in the pecking order is any new person who's just now doing a withdrawal. So if you're just getting started 2 days ago and all of a sudden you want to do a withdrawal, yeah, you are important, but if that's where you find yourself and you just got started 2 days ago, don't be surprised when the other two categories get it before you get it, okay? Now, I'm not certain how closely these pecking order lineups are in cahoots with one another. Is it older members, then the next day they're going to do a round robin? They didn't tell us that. And then the last is any member, an older member, that has gotten their money, but in other words, their principal, but they haven't got a profit yet. And so they're saying that that's still their concern. But their number one concern are the three things that I just laid out before you. So what does that look like? So let's say I got started and I put in $10,000 and I have $50,000 in pending and I've already got my $10,000 out. They're not saying that, hey, just, you know, hey, good luck. They're still saying that, that they're going to honor that, but you're going to be low on the totem pole in reference to order of importance. And I hope all that makes sense. We'll open up for a quick Q&A if anybody has any questions on that. Now, I will tell you, this is just what they've laid out. You know, any specifics, timeline-wise, and that kind of thing, they did not provide that. But these are the four levels or rungs of importance on the ladder of importance. So, again, new members doing a withdrawal for the first time, older members making certain they get at least what they put in the form of an investment, new people who now decide they want to get a withdrawal, and then older members who've already gotten their principal back, but now you want to get your profit, okay? So those are the four tiers of importance. As I mentioned earlier, the thing I mentioned earlier, a lot of companies have closed their doors, especially in the last 60 days. I mean, literally in this space, being the, you know, the MLM space and the direct sales space and even the affiliate marketing space, a lot of companies have closed their doors because their model is directly impacted by the market and the market alone. So the fact that, you know, Hyperverse is getting paid on exchanges and coins and this and that, you know, blockchain projects around the globe, I'm more than certain that that's allowing them to keep their doors open. And I'm thanking God every day because I know a lot of people personally, including myself, who put a lot of money, and no one can afford to lose anything. And so, again, the fact that they are making a commitment to ensure that maybe you don't make, you know, 20X on your money or whatever the case may be, or 3X or 4X, but at least you don't lose anything. I think it's a good indication that they're, you know, are going to do what they say they're going to do. So far things look, you know, I think decent before, you know, because of those mentioned reasons, but money coming out slow. Now there's a pecking order. You know, I don't particularly personally like being put in a pecking order, but I understand the company has to do what they have to do to keep their doors open and to honor their commitments to each and every one of us, the members. So here's what we suggest in moving forward, okay? There's always has been a saying in the crypto space, never invest what you can afford to lose. And even though we've always said that this is not an investment, that we were purchasing memberships and things of that nature, regardless of how you slice the dice it, you know, it's still money out of your bank account into Hyperverse. So this is what we're going to recommend to you guys. And again, when we hang up the phone, if it doesn't sit well with you, then that's fine. But I have to go to bed at night and sleep and know that we've at least attempted to give you guys the best recommendations and advice based on our level of understanding of what's happening in front of the scenes and behind the scenes. Okay, so first thing I would recommend, if you were to ask me, hey, Malcolm, so what do you recommend that I do? So I'm just assuming that all of you have just asked me that question. What I would recommend, and what we would recommend to do, is to stop doing any rebuys, okay? Now, the reason why we're recommending that is whether you understand it or not, every time you do a rebuy, you have just initiated a brand new 4X contract, okay? Now, the 4X, in order to get 4X on your money, it takes 1,300 days in order to 4X your money. Now, you can get it a lot faster if you are also building a community, okay? So if you're getting $100 a day, you can go through a 4X contract. If it's 3,000 remaining, you're going to go through that in, you know, 30 days, right? So if you don't, if you've never built the team and you're only building passive, on the 4X, it's going to take 1,300 days for you to get your initial investment plus 4X, okay? So what we would recommend doing is stop rebuying and then let your principal accrue until you have at least secured in the actual rewards that you've earned exactly what you put in on your initial membership and any additional memberships. So if you got started with 300, then you did 500, then you did 1,000, that's 1,800. Hey, stop doing rebuys and allow your rewards to come in until you've at least equaled what you have in the form of exposure, okay? That's the first thing that we would recommend, okay? Once you've done that, then we recommend pulling that money out, okay? Now, whatever you want to do after that, if you want to start back doing the rebuys or if something, you know, drastically changes and, you know, they take a different shift and they start communicating better and we can ascertain from a leadership position that, hey, we're recommending now that you stop, you know, letting it accrue and start back doing the rebuys. But as it stands tonight, June 15th at 8:55, I can't with the sound conscience advise you otherwise, okay? Now, that's just to ensure that no one loses. That's the main thing. Now, I know we're all in here to get 3X, 4X, 10X, 100X, whatever. But by doing this, you can at least assure that you're going to bring out at least what you put in, okay? Now, if you're looking to start doing a withdrawal right away, in the back office, we have a lot of videos how to pull money out, how to convert, you know, HU to this. And we recommend at the time using the MOF token to do so. Now, we've heard conflicting stories. I've dealt with people on my team who are part of, you know, the first level of importance, which they've never pulled any money out, and they've chosen the MOF. And voila, in 48 hours or less, they have their money, okay? I also have heard people that pulled it out in MOF, and it's been a couple of weeks now, and they hadn't seen their money actually show up into their exchange where they can then convert it to cash. So what we have seen is that withdrawing money using the HVT coin, which is the Hyperverse token, it works every single time. Now, for full transparency, I did some withdrawals in MOF 2 or 3 months ago, and I got some of it converted, but MOF withdrawals are still in pending status. Now, ever since I've moved to the HVT token, it's coming out like clockwork. Now, the only drawback, if there is a drawback with HVT, is it's known as the HVT drip. And when I say it's a drip, it is a drip. So if you've ever pulled out using MOF, if you pulled out $15,000 in 48 hours, it was there, you can convert it, and you can go to Best Buy and buy you a TV with it. HVT, it doesn't work that way. If you have $10,000 coming to you in HVT, it may take 2 weeks to get your funds. It may take 6 days to get your funds. It is a drip. Now, the more you put in, the more you get out. But the beautiful thing is HVT, every other second you see it growing in your pending balance that you could then convert to cash. Now, there is one huge headache with HVT withdrawal. It is a monster to understand the steps. I mean, literally, the video is an hour plus long, and the actual process may take 2 to 3 times as long. So I'm not trying to discourage you. MOF is very quick. You know, it may take you 15 minutes to get it done. HVT is like 15 or 20 steps. Now, for those of you that want to pull out money and withdraw, now I would definitely tell you to wait until you have a decent enough amount to pull out, because if you put just $70 in HVT, you're going to get on that drip literally pennies a day. But if you wait to get, you know, 700 or 1,000, it's going to move a lot faster. Now, for those of you that are interested in getting some assistance, there is a group of professionals that we've been working with that actually personally helped me get my HVT set up. And if you want that assistance, then you can go to Crypto for Life and just hit us in the chat or get with the upline leader that, you know, that you're working with or whoever personally introduced you, and then we can get you set up to have the team help you, and they will literally set it all up for you. Now, there is a cost because it literally takes an hour or two of them being on the line with you to get everything set up. So that's the HVT. I would strongly encourage you, you know, if you want to try that initial one through MOF, you know, I have heard some success stories with that, but I know for a fact HVT works, but it is very, very, very slow. I believe the reason why they're forcing us to go and use the HVT is because it is their token. The MOF is not their token. Now, I don't know this to be true, but I've been around, you know, this business for a while and this industry. It only makes sense to me that if the MOF is not moving or barely moving and HVT is moving, like every second you're seeing it grow in your account, then more people are going to go the HVT route. When you go the HVT route, obviously that's going to, you know, drive the volume of usage in the market. And when other users that aren't in Hyperverse sees, you know, millions and millions of tokens being bought and converted in the HVT coin, more people are going to jump onto it. And I don't know this to be a fact, but it only makes sense to me. And so if this is the coin that they're kind of pushing us to, like Singh, I mentioned, it would have been very helpful for them to just come out and say, hey, listen, MOF is down, or we're moving from MOF, we encourage you to use HVT, and then we would have to find out from someone else how they're getting that money out. But so long story short, I think I'm going to turn it back over to you. I recommend stop doing rebuys and let what your principal accrue. Once you see that in the rewards, and then pull it out. Right now I tell you to use HVT. Who knows, you know, next week or two, they were saying 60 to 90 days, but that was 30 to 45 days ago when they said the MOF will be back online. So if this time next week MOF is back online, then we will do another update call to say, you know, slow your HVT drip, get back to the MOF. You'll have it in 24 to 48 hours. But right now, if you want to get it out, HVT is the recommended process to use. So I hope I didn't confuse you guys talking HVT and MOF. These are just two different ways you can pull your money out and convert it from Hyperverse. One is not working or barely working, and the other one is working, it's just working slow. So, Singh, I'm going to turn it back over to you. If I missed anything, you know, please chime in. But we're at the top of the hour, so we can go ahead and get everybody home and I'll talk.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, excellent. No, that's great information. I'm certain there's got to be some questions that represent. The only thing I would like to add to chime in on that, and Matthew, you may have mentioned this, so I apologize, I was off the line for a couple of seconds, but the HVT process, as you mentioned, is a very difficult process. I encourage anybody to take video. I consider myself to be pretty fluid in this kind of stuff, you know, at this particular stage of the game. I took that video, it still took me 2.5 days. I still wasn't able to get it done. There are people out there, if you look out there in the Hyperverse community, you know, any of the official chats and stuff, you know, everybody's saying, hey, HVT is working fine. It is a very slow process, but I'd rather get it slow than not at all. So I'm in agreement with that. I understand, you know, what they're doing, because, again, if liquidity is a problem, then, you know, doing it the HVT route and making it come out slower, especially for those that's withdrawing large sums of money, and especially those that are in a pure profit standpoint. If it's coming out in 48 hours for those that hadn't got money out and hadn't done anything, and so that's great. But if you're someone that, you know, at this point don't have anything invested, maybe you put in $5,000, you've already pulled out $25,000, and now you're just going to get some more money out, or whatever the case is. You know, I understand their mentality and thought process. In terms of, okay, we're going to get you your money, but you're going to have to weather the storm with us. I'm not opposed to that. But the other thing that I want to really talk about, speak on in reference to that, and then we'll go ahead and move on to closing out. But the other thing that it does from a legality standpoint is no one can run out and say, scream bloody murder and say that these guys stole their money if they make certain that anyone who goes in and attempts to do a withdrawal, especially if they haven't gotten their seed capital out, if they prioritize the people and make sure they get their seed capital out, you know, it's gonna keep them in a position from a legality standpoint. And it's not to say that companies like this don't fold and people lose their money. So I have to applaud them in a major way for doing what they're doing, because, you know, it just goes to show you that they're serious about what they're here to do. And with that kind of effort to take out the time to do what Malcolm just described to you and all the other changes and a lot of things we didn't even talk about on this call because we haven't been able to vet it out enough to say that we believe this is what's really happening, so we just left it off this call. But of all the thoughtful, very intelligent things that they have done to weather this storm and keep the model active, you know, you got to give them a pat on the back for that. That's for certain. And so, at the exact same time, I think it makes great sense legally and perception-wise that, you know, if someone's new, they haven't put out their money, they go to do a withdrawal, they get it out. As Malcolm mentioned, I would say while they are incentivized to get you your seed capital out, I would say now would be the time for you to do that. Just in the event that things go beyond something they can control and, you know, things don't continue to progress the way that they are, you know, at least you've got your seed capital. I think the seed capital a little bit more, you know, to make it worth your time, you know, if you haven't got that. But at any rate, you know, go through the process, do the HVT. Now, if you go into the hyperverse community, there are people out there that will do the HVT setup for you, but they are charging. And, you know, we've got a couple of people that we've been able to identify that are, you know, doing it in a timely manner. They can take over your computer and help you set it up. This is just not something that I would say if there's 200 people on this line, there's probably two of you that could pull this off, you know, without having to get a degree. But, you know, I'm not saying don't give it a shot. But when you're ready to get that set up, if you do need assistance with it, we've been able to identify. Most of you guys know the young guy, Darius, this Marcus' son. But, you know, this is a very, even for someone like himself who is very astute, it's still an hour plus process for him to do it for you or with you. You know, hour and a half, 2 hours process for him to set it up for you. And so because of that, you know, out of respect for his time, you know, he is, you know, charging a fee for that. And so we have, you know, other people that as well, that's part of the Hyperverse community. So if you need help with that, you want to get an answer to that part of it, they're charging like 100 something bucks or whatever the case is. So, you know, if you got, you know, money coming and sitting there, you know, it's not going to, you know, they're not trying to get rich with it, but they are trying to, you know, help the community, but at the same time, be respectful of their own time. So, cause if not, they'll just sit there and do that all day long. Cause I'm sure everyone is looking to, you know, get the HVT thing set up. So I just wanted to mention that back. I'm not sure if you covered that as well or not, but I wanted to definitely mention that. So if you had a point where you're ready to do the HVT thing and you try the video, you need help, just make sure you send a message to through the chat or to call one of us and we'll get you pointed in the right direction for that. The only other thing that I would say in reference to what you just shared, Malcolm, again, while they seem to be incentivized to help you guys get at least your minimal initial investment out, I would definitely encourage you guys to do what you need to do to go ahead and make that happen for yourselves. And so as Malcolm mentioned in terms of how we're moving forward, one quick thing. And so as soon as, you know, I definitely encourage you guys to get a hold of that and get that done. The last thing I want to cover before we close out the call very quickly is one of the things that we opened up the call talking about is the fact that we had to do a surgical process to get the information that we've been able to give you up until this point. And so and there really lies the problem for us as a team, as an organization, as a group of people that's trying to lead an organization, lead a team, and be able to provide you guys with some level of information, support, accountability. You know, even though I'm certain all of you guys know that, you know, most of this is not within our control, obviously. And it's a very uncomfortable situation for us to be in because we've never had to be in a situation, you know, after, you know, 30 plus years of being in business where we had literally no control over not just, you know, what's physically taking place and what's happening, but even the information and how the information is coming out, you know, for us to have to call and beg and plead and can you let me know when this call is happening? Can you include me on this thread just so we can, you know, extract information? It's just not something that that we're, you know, we're used to or comfortable with. And so that's one of the things that's created the problem that we've had here. And that's the reason why we have postponed, well, in a combination with a few other things. I mean, even with all that's going on, there's still not a clear-cut, defined group of people that's been set up to do presentations. The presentation continuously changed. The opportunity is very fluid in reference to there are a lot of changes that the company's making. There are a lot of things that come online that we have no knowledge that they're even online. And so for us to be able to have a team call and say, hey, come here, because we're going to, you know, corral the information and make sure you're up to speed on things, they've really handicapped us to a point where we can't even do that. And so people say, hey, what happened to the team call? Well, the only thing we can do is give them a team call and talk about problems that are out there. We can't really talk about solutions because we can't get the right level of information, which, you know, creates a very significant problem for us in reference to trying to build a group, build a team, and help, you know, lead and train a group of people to try to go out and accomplish something significant inside of this model. And so because of that, because of the lack of communication, really with anyone at corporate, whether it's a corporate representative, a founder, we understand they got, you know, a lot of different things going on, but to never assign, you know, a communication liaison or for us to have to depend on, you know, Harvey or anyone else, not to knock anybody because they've done a great job at what they could, but it's really not their responsibility to keep me informed about my business. And so I believe it's corporate's responsibility to keep me informed about the business that I've invested so heavily into, whether it be monetarily, time, resources, the people that I've introduced. You know, I don't feel like I should have to go through someone else to be able to get information or get a question answered, or, you know, I've got people online that took weeks and months to get small things resolved inside of their organization. That I have to call and beg and plead and get other people involved just to, you know, get someone to, you know, reset someone's password or what have you. And, you know, that's just not a position that we like seeing ourselves being in. And so because of that, it's created a very treacherous situation for us, for lack of better words. It's made it impossible for us to continue to grow the organization the way that, you know, we know that it needs to be grown in terms of training. Like, you know, what do we train organization on when everything is changing so quickly and we can't get the information to know what's going to happen next? You know, what do we meet about from a team call standpoint when we don't have the information that's most important to your business? So we can have a team call and we could, you know, tell you about the three people who signed up last week and so on and so forth, but that's really not what you're looking to give them a team call about. You want to know what's happening with the MOF or how do you get your money out through HVT. And so we understand that. We get that. But they have handicapped us in a way where, you know, we're unable to do that. And that is the reason why we have not been hosting any of these calls. We wanted to get that back going. That is the reason why we haven't been able to not only host the calls, but to start back doing presentations or doing live presentations and recruiting, because it doesn't make sense to bring new people into something that when we're so unsure about its future, at least, you know, at this particular moment. And so that is the reason why we've basically suspended and frozen everything on our side. Now, we hadn't quit. We're not quitting the business or anything like that or whatever the case is. We're hopeful. We're prayerful. We want to do anything that we can do to sustain this model and make it continue to grow. We're very proud of the fact that the founders of this company haven't done like so many other companies and just packed up and kept it moving because they could and they could afford to, and we would just all just have to, you know, get on about our lives. But they seem to be committed to their commitment, and from that standpoint, you know, we respect that. And that's the reason why we're still involved at the level that we are. But we can't continue to be involved at the level where we're going to go out and do presentations that we can't confirm it's the right presentation or that we're on the list to do presentations. You know, we just can't operate in that type of environment. So from our official standpoint or whatever the case is, there won't be any the only time we'll be doing a call will be like a call like this when there is a legitimate update that says here how things are moving forward or, you know, hey, we've learned this and we're recommending this based on this or things are back up and running. You know, let's go back live. Let's do, you know, do what we need to do to build and grow the business. We'll call those calls when that time comes around for that. But right now is not that time. So even though they've made a lot of progress and we see a lot of, you know, forward and, you know, positive things, they seem to be weathering the storm. Mainly the lack of communication is what's strangling our ability to do anything significant here. So we didn't get involved with this model to, you know, to just, you know, 4X our money or whatever the case is, figure out a place to put 30 grand or 50 grand or whatever the case is. That's not why we got involved with this model. You know, we got involved with this model because we knew we could impact a lot of people, impact ourselves, help a lot of people get money to get out of the way, set retirement up for people who need it, people that hadn't had the level of success like a Harvey Hill that never experienced the level of success before and to see what he's been able to accomplish and a Marcus Thor. And I got friends living overseas right now who are calling and saying, man, what in the hell is going on? You know, because they've moved overseas with this model, with this business, and things have slowed up and frozen. So, you know, with all of that being said, you know, we want to be part of the solution, definitely not part of the problem. And so we don't want to say or do anything that's going to, you know, hurt the opportunity. But at the exact same time, we want to be transparent with, you know, our findings, what we've learned, where things are. And how and the company has, you know, grown itself into even a more solid opportunity. Like the opportunity you're staring in the face of right now is probably the most viable opportunity that that they put forth up until this point. Doesn't mean that it's going to be around forever, but if this is not sustainable, nothing is because they put forth a very sustainable model with what they have here. And I'm certain they're going to continue to do what's right to continue to allow it to grow. So, so that's pretty much it in reference to, you know, where we are. You know, all of our calls are permanently on hold right now until, you know, Hyperverse is able to get, you know, back on some type of track that allows us to have the type of clarity and information that we can, you know, disseminate as we move forward. And so, so I just wanted to just share, you know, where we were officially so that, you know, I know there's a lot of questions out there. Well, when are we going to start back having calls? And so hopefully that answers that question. Malcolm, was there anything else that you wanted to share to leave anything out before we close out?
Yeah, I want to share one thing, not that you left it out, but I was just listening to you here at the end. But in reference to, you know, Hyperverse was a unicorn, you know, in reference to, you know, I'd never done anything in crypto. I'll just be completely honest and transparent. I'd known about crypto for years. I got friends who made a lot of money in crypto. I never did anything in crypto. Probably many of you have not ever done anything prior to crypto. I hope that you will continue to do things in crypto because crypto is viable. There's a lot of money being made in crypto still, even though it has a downward kind of spiral trajectory right now. But with that being said, what Hyperverse did, it created a false sense of how the crypto space actually works. And Singh, you can chime in on this if you like, but you know, so the founders, they have a certain type of culture. You know, over in Asia, and I've been in Asia when I was in the military. I know a lot of people that are business leaders in the Asian market. They don't do a whole bunch of communicating. In reference to, you know, making certain that you understand everything that's going on, they expect, and especially in the crypto world, most crypto guys and gals, they find their information in the crypto community, you know, which coins are doing the best. You find that in posts and chats and things of that nature. So, you know, when I first got in to Hyperverse, I was used to everything being done for me. And when I was talking with Harvey Hill this morning, he was like, Malcolm, you know, the founders are of a different breed. You know, they've created an opportunity. They expect us to go out and get the information from the community. Now, I don't like that model personally, but it is part of their culture to not take special attention to make certain that everybody understands what coin to use, that they move from MOF to HBT. Some kind of way, miraculously, they think we should just wake up one morning and know this, but they expect us to get it from talking with other people in the community. Now, again, I don't like that model, but with most crypto opportunities, that's exactly the way it works for all the members that are part of that particular crypto community. They get the information from one another. They don't get it directly from the people that are running the company or owning the coins or incubating the coins. So I just wanted to make that mention. And so, again, that doesn't excuse them, because if you're going to have a volunteer sales force, and that may be okay in China, but that don't work in America, flat out. And the fact that no one told them, hey, you can get away with that here, but you can't get away with that across the pond, someone should have spoken up and said, hey, that won't work. You have to communicate. But even to this very day, and they see things out on the social media world where people are saying, and you would think that they would have put together a press release to address these things. So it's not lost on them. They obviously know what's happening, but either their culture doesn't make them care, or they just don't care. But it ain't happening. So,
right. Well, and I think we could, you know, through their actions, we can see that they care enough to try to make it work. But at the same time, when we say they don't care to communicate what they're going to, because have they communicated any of this, I don't think anything that anyone has heard on the call tonight would have been something that had they communicated that we would have said, oh, no, we're not in agreement with that. No, we're not going to do that. We don't want to be a part of this anymore. I don't think there's anything that's been said tonight, any moves that they've made, that even if we don't particularly love them, like in our scenario, you know, we're one of those people that, you know, we've gotten well more than what we had invested. And as a result of that, you know, we're at the very bottom of the totem pole to get paid. So I don't personally like that, but I respect the fact that that's what they had to do. And I respect the fact that if as I jokingly told Harvey Hill this morning, hey, you had to wait 30 days, so what? You put out $800,000 last month or the month before last. I don't want to hear you crying. You know, if you figured out a way to blow that, then that's your problem. You know, but at the same time, I do understand that people are making moves and people are doing things, and, you know, they want to see things move forward. But I can respect the fact that they've made some tough decisions. They've made some calls. From everything that we've seen, outside of the lack of communication, which just leaves us completely helpless and no control of our own business, outside of that, everything else they've done has been extremely smart, and things that, whether we agree with it or not, they have been the right things for them to do. So, I can't stand here and tell you that hadn't been the case, because it has. At the same time, there are many other things that we can point to say that, you know, they could do a better job of. But, you know, like communication and like getting the necessary help that they need to know what things will fly. Like, you don't have to do anything special for people here in the States, with the exception of the fact that 80% of your business is here in the United States. And so that's just pure business. You know, if 80% of your customers are female, then, you know, you may have to do some things that cater toward females. If 80% of your business is in the U.S., then you may have to do some things differently that will cater toward, you know, where you're, you know, who's butting your toast or what have you, and so your bread. So so from that standpoint, you know, those things they could definitely do better. But I hope and pray that this hasn't confused the matter more than what it's helped. Malcolm, I still say, for those that want to stick around, because it's been a long time since we've had a chance to talk, for anyone who wants to jump online, let's see if we can squeeze out a couple 10, 15 minutes worth of Q&A. I'm definitely willing to, you know, stay online and have that conversation with you guys. For anybody else, if this is getting long or you've already got the information, please feel free to disconnect. But Malcolm, is there a way for someone to unmute themselves so that everybody that unmute themselves start talking at once? Is there a way for them to individually unmute themselves and ask a question, or should we have somebody type the question in the chat?
Well, okay, so the problem with the chat is that everyone is on the conference call line, so there's no one that dialed in from the computer. So
understood.
We won't be able to do it that way. But what we can do is ask everyone to put their phones on mute. Actually, if we can get some participation, just hit the mute button on your phone. And then if you have a question, we just simply ask that you unmute your line and ask your question. So if you unmute your line and someone else is already asking a question, then just go back on mute, and then at the end of that question, you can unmute, and then we can take your question. So let's try this. Let's see what works. So I'm going to go ahead and unmute everybody now. Well, go ahead and put your phone on mute, and if you have any questions, unmute and ask.
Specific question is, so you don't want me to rebuy anymore until we're notified?
No. That I don't want that to be the takeaway from the call tonight. I want you to do whatever you want to do with the information that we provided. But our recommendation would be, if you've already taken out, you know, your money plus another 40, 50 grand, sounds like, then, you know, I suggest you go ahead and do whatever it is that you, you know, want to do. That's really pointed towards someone who has not at least recouped their initial investment. Sounds like you've done more than that. And so, so that recommendation was really geared towards someone who hadn't at least recouped their initial investment. The company seems to be motivated and incentivized to make certain that everybody at least made whole, which I love that. And so while they're motivated in that manner, I would encourage anyone who has not gotten whole to please do so. But again, that's just an encouragement. That's not, you know, we're not going to say, hey, everything's back on, do what we tell you to do. That's, we're not going to be in that position here, because we just don't have enough information, direct source information, to make that kind of, you know, play on here's what you should and shouldn't do. We just want to say that as a recommendation, if you hadn't gotten hold, then we would encourage you to do so. But it's still your decision to be made. So I'm glad you brought it up.
Thank you very much.
Yes, please go for it.
I had a question as well.
Yes.
Okay. All right, this is Valerie in Birmingham. My question is, I appreciate that you contacted me to be a part of this opportunity, because what I hear you saying is that even though all of these things have happened, you have shared with us the most pertinent things that we need to know. And I know it's a thousand times bigger than what you shared. But based on
We got a lot of it out tonight, but go ahead.
Okay. many incidents, meaning things that pertain to the same territory, but a lot of stuff happening.
Yes, ma'am.
What I'm asking is, so what I understand is that even though you are, meaning team affiliation, is putting a pause on the training portion of the business, you still have confidence in the stability of the company and the future of the company, or do you? Because I'm asking that question because I'm trying to figure out if I should still continue recruiting.
That's a great question. And irrespective of my answer, I don't want that to determine what you do or don't do. I think you got to build your own level of confidence about what you're doing. So I will share with you where we are. And from there, you have to, you know, make your own decisions about how you, you know, you proceed forward. Now, from our standpoint, you know, we don't have the information in place for us to feel confident to go out and continue to do presentations and things of that nature. Now, if someone came to me and said, hey, I want in, you know, I've heard everything, I've seen everything, this, that, and the other, I'm not going to stop anybody from doing hyperverse by no stretch of anybody's imagination. So I don't see anything out there that says to me, these guys are not trying to do the right thing. But I will tell you that if I am speaking to anybody about hyperverse, I'm telling them what the deal is. You know, so if you're going to put somebody on the phone with me, if you're going to put someone on the phone with me, I will forewarn you that I'm going to tell them all the great things that Hyperverse has done for me and what it's continued to do for a lot of people. But I am also telling people that, you know, right now Hyperverse is transitioning from a 1.0 model to a 2.0 model, which has had more than its fair share of hiccups and problems. The transition is still underway because if you go out and you click your check, you know, you'll see there's still a lag there. You know, it's getting better, but it's still a pretty big lag there. So I am, you know, sharing with people, you know, both I'm not going to discourage anybody, but at the same time, I'm not going to encourage anybody like everything is rosy over here because it's not. And so, yeah, so I don't know if that answers your question or not, but
I've got personal friends. Go ahead, please.
I've got personal friends, and you're one of them. You know, I've got personal friends that you know, have called me directly and said, hey, I just came in with another 50 grand, you know, and I'm ready to go, you know, put another 50 grand in the Hyperverse. Just like you called recently and said, hey, I got some extra, I want to put some more money into another. And I'll told my personal friend the same thing I'm telling you. And I told you right now, I think the dollar amounts were drastically different or what have you, but because it was his 60 grand or something that he was getting ready to put in of his parents or what have you, I basically told him it would be my recommendation right now not to put $60,000 in the Hyperverse. I couldn't push him on to that. That wouldn't be my recommendation right now. I told him to wait and watch things settle down a little bit as they continue to course correct. You know, I told him that he may want to come back and revisit, you know, a month from now or whatever the case is, or continue to check in with me. And as I learn things and as things seem to course correct, then, you know, I may feel differently in the future, but it wouldn't be my recommendation right now.
Okay, so.
If I could add to that real quick. This is Malcolm, Val, and good to hear your voice. Me personally, and Singer said it so eloquently. Me personally, I'm not recruiting anybody, you know, until a lot of things change. Because until those things change, like, for example, the PowerPoint presentation is 1.0 to 2.0, 3X versus 4X. They hadn't even provided the PowerPoint presentation, you know, to mimic where the new model is, right? And so there are a lot of things that, you know, we would have to go and recreate or create or design. And then they haven't given us the green light to even do that. So a lot of the things that make, I think, the model really unique and team affiliation do what we do, we can't even do anymore. And so for that reason, you know, we have to put it on a pause. And if I don't feel comfortable enough to do it, if I don't have the ability to do a presentation or to talk about the company, then for all practical matters, until that changes, I don't see how we can recruit people. Personally, I'm talking about me, Singer and I.
Part two to my question was, if I do recruit someone, and since I have not learned what
we're not gonna support somebody if this works in the business. But I don't trust anybody's imagination. We're not gonna return your telephone call, even though some of you may be feeling like that right now, because you know, we've had some lag times in returning telephone calls or what have you. But you know, there's been you know, some moving targets we've been trying to get. We've been trying to get those answers that you, those questions that you have, are questions that we have. We had to stop and say to ourselves, at what point do we say we can't do anything? You know, we have to start telling people. You know, another good friend online tonight, he's got a big, heavy hitting person that's ready to go. I mean, he's calling me on a daily basis saying, can I put my money in yet? And I have to, it's not my recruit. But I had to tell my good friend, hey, listen, I can't, as your recruit, and he's calling me, he's set up his account, he's ready to fund, he's already got his money into his exchange, but when he calls me, I got to tell him right now, I don't think it's the right time. And so, you know, that's been going on for about 3 weeks now. He calls every week, hey, it's right now, I'm back to the country. Can I do it now? I don't think right now is the right time. And it's an unfortunate thing, but I had to, because of the dollar amount, you know, I just didn't think it was the right time to have somebody, you know, come over here with $250,000 or whatever the case is. It's not really the dollar amount as much as it is the other pieces. But go ahead.
Sure. Well, if they go into the opportunity knowing everything that's going on, wouldn't it be their decision?
Oh, it's their decision. I'll support anybody. If somebody needs help getting in, if they know what they know. You have a young lady that told me, Mr. Pope, I know more about what's going on. I got a personal friend who's been in for a year and a half. He's already told me about the delays. He's getting his money through HVT. He's got money tied up in MOF for 2 months. but I'm still ready to put my money in. And I told you and her, hey, congratulations, right. Welcome aboard. Let's rock and roll. yeah, I'm not right. gonna, you know, I ain't no hater. Yeah, I ain't gonna stop nobody. But I am gonna inform folks. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Shonda from Atlanta.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, Shonda from Atlanta, Georgia. How are you? So
yes,
I have MOF attending status, and I wanted to see if I can switch it over to HVT status, and who can I contact to help me set this up, please?
Well, so you can't, unfortunately, convert it once you've exchanged it for a particular coin. And it's actually sitting in the MOF and it's in pending status, you can't exchange it for another coin. So unfortunately, that's where I find myself and many people find themselves that we're not aware of the HVT as an option or the best option at the time. Because MOF, if you've ever pulled anything out, Shonda, you know it was working like a charm.
Right.
So you can't.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly. 1 to 2 days, and boom, you had it, you know. So, unfortunately, you can't, you know, unexchange it and convert it for the HVT. But in moving forward, we can definitely assist you in setting up your HVT, you know, contract and all of that and take you through all the steps. If you just, you know, get in contact with whoever actually referred you, or you can call me directly. I know you have my number as well. I can set you up with the team that can help you with the HVT withdrawal.
Thanks, Malcolm.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Can you hear me?
Yes, certainly can.
Yeah, okay, yeah, this is Novak Young. First, I want to say, man, I am truly blessed to have you guys, you know, have such a call, or just to be who you are, to be so transparent about what is taking place. Because I know things are all over the place. I want to say that first of all. Thank you so much for having this call. One big question I have, I know
you mentioned
an HVT. You know, of course, I go through the videos and I try to look and see how I can handle stuff. And yes, I mess up stuff trying to do it on my own. Because I'm like a baby. That's what children do. They try to fix it, and then now, okay, I need help, right? So in this HVT thing, is there a training on the site on the HVT, or do I need someone to help me walk through that?
There is a video training that we're going to make available to everybody, but the answer to your question is yes.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate you, what you guys are doing, okay? And so,
no, we appreciate you as well, man. I appreciate you making that comment. Thank you. Anybody else? Any last questions, comments? Because if not, we're going to close out the call. Yes, sir.
This is Craig. I just want to thank you and Malcolm both for being so informative and transparent to all of us, because a lot of us have been wondering, and that means a lot. And you gave us a lot to digest, and I'm not sure I've swallowed it all yet. But you know me.
I'm gonna get an HVT call from you in the morning. I'm certain of it. But no, Craig, I appreciate that. I mean, you know, there are people on this call that we've known for 25, 30 years. Some of y'all, like Valerie Jones, raised us. You know, I mean, I'm not saying she's older than us, but she's always been a big sister and someone that, you know, we've always looked up to and respected. And, you know, and so, you know, we don't, you know, a lot of folks on this call, we're family, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we have no choice but to, you know, keep it real, you know, and that can be very uncomfortable at times, what have you. But, you know, that's one thing you're going to always get 100% from us, whether it's good or bad. You know, you're going to get the truth as we see it. Don't mean that we're right about it, but you know we're gonna try to be as transparent as honest as we can about, you know, where things are and where we are, and hope and pray that you know benefits and works out for everybody involved. And so, you know, I know that you know we've become good friends in a short amount of time or what have you. And so, you know, I would never lead anybody that, you know, that I've become friends with, or even I wouldn't take a stranger down an alley to go get mugged, knowingly that somebody's gonna be down there to mug them. You know, that's not something that we're built to do. So if we know that there's something lurking around the corner, we're at least gonna say, hey, there's something lurking around the corner. Now, If you choose to put on your pants and go watch and walk around the corner anyway, you know, that's on you. But, you know, but at least we're gonna try to do our part. So, but I appreciate that comment. And definitely, anybody got any questions, you know, after call in reference to HVT or anything, we're going to get the recording out. And then I'm sure we'll be doing a follow-up call as we continue to get more information and that kind of thing. So we'll continue to plug away at it.
Campbell, one thing I wanted, can I jump in, see how Malcolm is on wall from Atlanta?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. We can. Yes, sir.
Fantastic. First of all, I just want to say thank you guys for this, and it takes a lot of metal to do what you guys are doing. You may or may not know the answer to this, but you know, any idea if there was any penalty or restitution requested from these individuals who decided that they would, you know, for lack of better terms, game the system or figure out the loops and you know, sounds like transactions actually went through, and it was a snowball or an avalanche effect. You know, any idea if there was any attempt to undo or request back from them, you know, the money that kind of put us in this type of a situation?
That's a good question. I doubt it. I doubt that even if they did request it, you know, I doubt that anybody gave it. But I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I know there are certain people out there that that were part of some of that are still actively involved in the community and still actively involved in the company, you know, because their names came up in some of these no calls and things of that nature. So maybe – yeah, there was something said to them, said, hey, you're going to have to do certain things in order to remain a part of the company. And so maybe there was some of that, you know, some kind of restitution or something, because a lot of them didn't just get up and go away. I mean, they still see the viability. They still want to be a part of it. So I would imagine it had to be something that they came up with. But I don't know the answer to that question. That's a
sure.
great question. I mean, almost
sure.
to the point that somebody should be demanding certain things. But at the same time, I do want to put the blame back on the company, not the individuals, you know, because people
sure.
will do what the compensation plan will allow them to do.
Sure.
Now, there's something egregious about having 100 accounts. Now, don't get me wrong. So they do have to take some blame for that. But at the same time, the company has to, you know, keep their guard up for that type of thing. I think Malcolm or somebody else make a comment.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I do know that several people that were in that, you know, 200, 300, 1,000 membership kind of situation, When they were able to figure out something was wrong, when they were
mm-hmm.
moving from that 1.0 to 2.0, they were able to figure a lot of that out and to shut down those accounts that were really the same person over and over and over and over again. So,
right.
you know, kind of like by default, they did kind of take that money, because if you were getting paid on 600 accounts and now
That's
you're only
true.
Getting paid on one account,
That's
you
true.
Know, you didn't get your money back, but you're no longer gaming the system either.
Sure.
And there was some talk out there as well, because we don't know for certain who this applied to, but there was some talk out there for a while where they were charging people, you know, or at least there was a conversation about charging someone $1 million to move over to 2.0. Maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know, but we did hear some of that in the notes. I mean, we did read some of that in the notes with the notes, where there were people that were saying, you know, you're going to have to pay $2 million to move your entire organization over to 2.0. I don't know if that's a penalty, but we did see some of that. And so, but I don't know if that had anything to do with it.
Sure, sure. Thank you, John.
Yeah, great question. Great question. All right. Well,
we'll
are at the two-hour mark. Yes.
I think there was one person that was trying to say something when Mr. Bird was talking. I just want to
okay.
make sure they get their question answered. And I think it was a young lady. Do we have any other questions before we go ahead and disconnect?
Yeah, I didn't have a question. Oh,
go
ahead. I'll wait for you. Yeah, I didn't have a question. I just want to make a comment. Ditto what everybody said. Respect to Malcolm and Singar. Appreciate all y'all guys' efforts. And I believe everything's going to work out, and we're going to pick up where we left off. And like the young lady said, hopefully we can put some kudos out there to the corporate in that chat, make you guys a super nose to the point of, you know, the way y'all guys handle things. So that's all I wanted to say.
We appreciate that greatly, man. Definitely
Gene,
appreciate that.
Gene, be prepared to wait 3 hours and let them know that, bro.
Hey, no
we appreciate
doubt.
That, man.
No doubt, no doubt.
Yeah, okay. The brother, they had a question.
Yeah, this is Dan out of North Carolina. Quick question, more or less. When we did the conversion from 1.0 to 2.0,
yes.
Did at that point in time when we did the conversion, did we literally just start back over from day one, or did they retro back from the day we started and from that point going forward to get to max out your date as far as you maxing out on your full term of your agreement?
Whew, boy, Malcolm.
yeah, the answer to that.
You
want to
take that?
Yeah, Dan, the answer is yes. When you move from 1.0 to 2.0, they effectively reinitiated your contract. And that's the only way to go from that 600 or whatever it was to what it is today, from the 3X to the 4X. They uh-huh. actually had to, you know, cut ties with 1.0 and put you in a brand new contract. Yes. That's what
and that was a major sticking point for me too. That was a major problem for me. Because we, you know, it was presented as if we had an option, but they ultimately knew that there would be no option. They just wanted to get as much buy-in as possible before they took away the option. Which I understand the methodology. You know, if they can get enough people to convert voluntarily, then the fringe people like myself that was holding out, you know, we would have no choice. If our entire organization is already converted, then it would put us in a situation where we couldn't just sit there and keep complaining and moaning about it. We would have to do, but, you know, I understand the methodology, but I definitely didn't like the way it went down. I understand that it had to happen. But, you know, the lack of communication in that regard, you know, like we saw it coming. Like the very second that they said, hey, this you got an option, but at the very top it said old membership, I said, this is not an option. This is going to be the way it is. And so sure enough, you know, 36 days later, you know, because it's hard enough to maintain one compensation plan, but to try to maintain two, you know, it's almost an impossibility. So, great question. I'm sure that probably wasn't the answer none of us were hoping to hear, but that is the answer for sure.
Okay, and yeah. Last part was a two-part question, but I'll make it quick. So mm-hmm. I heard a gentleman made the comment of 300-something days of maturity, but that was on 1.0. But at 2.0, I understood that they extended the timetable out, and I'm quite sure was it like almost 1,000 more days for maturity?
Well, no, that 2.0 question for the maturity date, that was for the 2.0. The full time frame is the 4 times it. Is that 1,300 days to get the 4 times if you haven't recruited anyone. And so I'm certain when they looked at making that decision, they looked out there, and even if someone didn't recruit anybody, you know, people put in their daughter or their niece or, you know, their husband or the wife or whatever the case is, people put in their parent, they at least put someone in. And so because of that, I would venture to say probably 90%+ of the company has at least sponsored one or two people or whatever the case is. So they didn't see anybody going the full term with the exception of a small percentage, probably less than 2% of the people. And so when they made that move, they realized it was going to affect the minimum amount, not the maximum, you know, the minority, not the majority. And so they made the move anyway. And so the same thing will be true here. You know, but there are some people out there that just, hey, I'm not going to put my wife, I'm putting nobody in. And it's going to go that full time frame if that's the case, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's going to affect very few people. Yeah.
So that 200 day mark that you were asking about, Dan, that applied when it was the 1.0 because it was 600 days to maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you would basically recoup at the 1/3 mark, which is, you know, at 200. And now, mm-hmm. since it's a 4X, you're going to mature at the 1/4 mark. So it's going to be 25% of 1,300 is when you would recoup. So, yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
There was another comment, a question?
No, sir, it was Ronald. Malcolm clarified. I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew that it doesn't mean you have to wait the entire term to get your initial investment, because you get that initial investment in a quarter of that time compared to what it was before. So Malcolm just clarified.
Okay, excellent.
Yes. Great call, guys. Great questions. With that, any other last minute anything before we close it on up? All right. Well, with that being said, guys, we definitely appreciate each and every one of you.
Can I say something real quick? I just want to personally thank everybody as well for sitting tight for the last 2 hours. And then for those of you like my brother Craig in South Carolina that was wondering where we were, we've been in the trenches trying to get enough information to pull a call like this together. And as we get more information, if we get more information and it changes some things that we just talked about tonight, we will gladly and quickly pull
we'll do a call tomorrow.
Calls together.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just want to say thank you, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Great point. All right. Well, great, guys. Well, again, thank everybody for being on the call as well as, digging around for the last 2.5-3 months, or whatever the case is, as we try to get some of this stuff figured out. So with that, we'll go ahead and close up. We appreciate and love each and every one of you guys. And so we'll hear you on the next call. And so we're going to still be doing what we do. I think we got a call scheduled Friday with, some more notes. And so if anything changes, as Malcolm said, we'll send some text updates. Thank you, guys. God bless you guys. Have a good night.
Good night.